Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the South Bay Show, Manhattan Beach 360, on February 27th, 2015. Voted Best Local Radio Show in the Daily Breeze Reader Choice Poll 2014, and we are looking for a repeat. Live, love, laugh, and leave a legacy. That's what we do here in the South Bay of Los Angeles, and it's a beautiful place to do just that. I'm your host, Joe Terry. And the South Bay Show is brought to you by the Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce. The Manhattan Beach Chamber has been serving the city of Manhattan Beach for over 60 years, and they are dedicated to promoting a strong local economy by supporting the community, providing valuable business connections, and representing business with government. The Chamber staff is focused on providing its membership with the tools and resources to help their businesses grow and thrive within the community. The goal is to continually support the individual efforts of business as they work to support the growth of the local economy. For more information on how the Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce is working with member businesses and the city of Manhattan Beach to support that growth, visit their website at www.manhattanbeachchamber.com or call 310-545-5313. That's 310-545-5313. You can read all about our many adventures on Facebook at facebook.com/The South Bay Show. Persistence, passion, principle, and purpose. That's what we talk about here on The South Bay Show. And, of course, I'm not alone because of our great partnership with SouthBayByJackie.com and producer of The South Bay Show, Jackie Balestra. Hey, Jackie, how are you doing today?
I am doing well this morning, Joe. How are you?
I am feeling good. I am in form, I think. And
good for you.
Thank you. And yesterday was a fabulous show. What a great show.
I have to tell you, I was out at a couple of events last night.
Yes.
And ran into a bunch of people, and everybody's like, so how did the show go? I'm like, you didn't listen? And so I get the feeling today everybody is going to be listening to it. Everybody's like, no, I just didn't have time yesterday. But, yeah, it was the talk of the town last night. Yeah.
It's wonderful. And, you know, it is tax season. Unfortunately, I have not done my taxes yet, which is very late for me.
Well, I
normally don't wait till, I mean, I'm usually, like, end of January, but today everybody has problems getting me tax information, so I need to get it together this week, hopefully this weekend. But we have some people with us that can help us all out, Jackie.
Yes,
give us
some
advice, don't we?
Yes, we do. Our guests this morning are Craig Heimforth of Five Rings Financial and John McLennan of JWM CPA and Company. Now, given the recent economic turmoil and the instability of the markets, more and more Americans are looking for strategies and solutions that can provide them a guaranteed income for life in retirement and the kind of safety their families deserve. What's more, everyone is worried about the rising cost of health care and increasing longevity. Now, balancing all these priorities may be challenging, but with the proper guidance, making sound financial decisions doesn't have to be one of those challenges. Everyone should know their options available and meeting your financial objectives and assist you in making more informed decisions, from finding strategies for creating an income you can't outlive to building a legacy you can leave for your loved ones. There are solutions for managing risk and preparing for even those unforeseen obstacles that may lie ahead. As you said, we're going to be talking finances and taxes today. It's tax season. There's a lot of stuff we need to know. So our guests are going to give us some advice this morning. So, John, Craig, welcome to the program. We're so glad you could join us this morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. And we want to start off, we normally start off with an overview, but first of all, I want to get a sense of what your practices are and what you do. So let's start with you, John. What is it exactly that you practice?
I have a small firm in Manhattan Beach. It's over in the Hill section. We currently serve about 450 clients in the South Bay area, mostly clients that have either small businesses, real estate property, an S corporation, or are an investor in a small business. And then we do focus a lot on individual tax returns, S corp tax returns, partnership tax returns, and ones that deal with real estate, technology, service companies, and some light manufacturing.
Okay. So, and what is the official name of the business, John?
It's JWM CPA and Company PC.
Okay. Okay. And Craig, what is Craig Hemphort? Fourth, yeah. What is the purpose of Five Rings Financial?
Well, Five Rings Financial, actually, kind of from a mission statement point of view, is we're an educational finance company. And so our mission is to help educate the, if we want to call it middle class consumer, how to plan for retirement.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So would you call yourselves a CPA, or what do you call your technical?
Well, I like call it a wealth strategist. We are not CPAs. We actually provide plans for people to be able to get from what we call here to there.
Mm-hmm.
And interestingly enough, on the MSN this morning, it said 1/5 of Americans do not plan to retire.
Hmm.
And so the answer to that is, without a plan, that is their plan.
Right.
It's really a shame that many people have to continue working.
Well, and you know, in marketing, the phrase is, if you fail to plan, you're planning to fail, right?
Yeah.
And
yep.
You say 20% of Americans do not plan to retire. Well, that's 20%, right, 1/5, but probably 4/5 will not be able to retire. And
well,
that's,
absolutely.
That's
yeah.
The sad truth is that, you know, if 1/5 does not plan to retire, 3/5 are in denial that they that they can retire, right?
Absolutely.
Right. And so really – I want to take the tack during the show that many people, and we're talking to adults directly, we're talking to people that are very well well educated in general. Let's speak directly to Manhattan Beach, and we're talking to some people that have at least one asset that is worth quite a bit, and that's their home. If they live in Manhattan Beach and they own a home, or if they live anywhere in the South Bay, really, and they own a home, they have at least one asset that is worth a considerable amount, more than the average American. And they really need to take this seriously, because there are some challenges out there. So let's start with the challenges. And I want to start with you, John, you know, as a CPA and someone that does taxes for a living, Let's take the tack that we're looking towards, you know, financial education. What do people need to know that they don't generally know when they come in and say, John, I need to do my taxes?
Well, there's a whole breadth of stuff that a lot of people don't really realize. I guess it's one of the first things that clients we come in when we'll talk to them and say is, do you own a home or are you renting?
Right.
And a lot of times, you know, they have a lot of younger professionals or professionals, let's say, in their mid-30s, and they haven't got their house yet. And they don't have the real understanding of what the real cost of a mortgage is going to be after considering their tax deductions,
mm-hmm.
and that they may be able to write off the mortgage interest and the property tax. Let's say if they're, just for discussion's sake, let's say they're in the 30% tax bracket or 33% tax bracket.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden they have a mortgage payment that's $3,000, which
mm-hmm.
is pretty low, but it'd be reasonable. The reality is it only costs them 2/3 of their mortgage payments after you consider the tax deduction that they'll get for it. So they're going to get a tax deduction of almost 1/3 of that $3,000 payment. So then the real cost to them is only $2,000.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if it's a little bit larger, and let's say their mortgage is $6,000.
Mm-hmm.
Well, guess what? The real after you consider the tax savings, out of pocket, it's only costing them $4,000.
Mm-hmm.
So somebody that may be living in the beach community or looking to rent a house and so forth, and they're kind of like, should I rent? Should I buy a house? And they may be paying, let's say, $5,000 a month for a house that they're renting,
mm-hmm.
and they're going, well, if I bought, I would take a look and show them, say, hey, if you bought a house, right now you're paying $5,000 a month in rent for this house.
Mm-hmm.
If you bought a house after, the real cost would only be $4,000. You'd be saving $1,000 a month, and you'd be in your own home.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, really? I go, yeah. And then we sit down and work with them and show them how at least the math works out for that.
And you're creating equity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's a great first thing to learn, is the value of a mortgage versus the, you know, throwing away your money renting.
One of the very big challenges today is most everybody, anybody that is renting, they're seeing rents are going up. It's becoming more and more expensive to rent and live in Los Angeles.
Right.
If you do own your home, your monthly payment is not going to go up. I mean, it shouldn't. It should be a fix. You get a fixed rate loan, and you kind of know it is. You're not at the mercy of a landlord at the end of your lease term that's saying, hey, guess what? I want more rent, or you got to move out.
Right, right. Craig, you know, what you do is education. What do you tell clients when they ask that very same question? Should I rent or should I buy?
Purchase homes that they actually can afford to live in, and then still have additional money to put towards the savings. Because one of the things that I see out in the marketplace is that I have a lot of older adults that do have a large sum of money in their house, but they do not have any income, per se, to live on. Mm. And that creates a difficulty.
Mm.
And so my hope is through earlier education of some of the younger clients, we can convince them that saving a small amount of money over a long period of time and letting it compound actually will give them a future retirement.
Now, you did a little switcheroo on us there, because you said you have people that come in that have a situation where they have a lot of house and not very much income.
Mm-hmm.
They have a mortgage, but then you switch to say, now, if I could only get them younger, are you saying that you're writing them off if they already have a big mortgage and very little income? What can someone do in that situation?
Well, you know, it is an interesting thing. I get a lot of phone calls, and I'm sure that John probably does too, for clients that are turning 70, approaching the 70 and a half age for being able to take their mandatory required minimum distributions. And some people are really confused as far as how that works on their taxes, and I'm sure that's what, but people are surprised the amount of tax bite that's going to come out of that that distribution, and
right,
then what their net income is going to be left with.
Right.
And so when I'm dealing with older adults, it is very difficult, because if we are saying life expectancy, quite honestly, could be from 90 to 95 years old, depending on when you retire, you could be in retirement for 20 years. So you needed to have saved 20 years worth of savings.
Okay, right. Now that's the rub right there, okay? We work all our lives. We collect the paycheck. How do you plan for when you stop getting a paycheck? I mean, you don't know how long you're going to live. You don't know what kind of medical expenses you may have. There's a commercial that runs on TV. Are you going to be able to live your life the way you want to in retirement?
Right.
It's scary.
It is scary. Well, I have a plan for that. I mean, quite honestly, people can put safeguards in place to plan for the what ifs in life, which is, what if I live too long? What if I pass away young? How do I take care of those I've left? Or what if I get ill or sick? How do I pay for my medical expenses? Those are things that we touch on.
Oh, it looks like it looks like
we lose Craig.
Yes, we did. Yes, we did.
Okay.
Well, we'll get him back in the meantime.
We will. So, John, let me pose a similar scenario to you. You have a client that comes in. Obviously, they want to do their taxes or have a financial checkup. They've got a lot of house, a nice mortgage. Maybe they even got the mortgage 10 years ago or 20 years ago. So it's not that much, but they don't have a lot of income. What do you say to a client like that? How can they plan better for their looming retirement?
Oh, that's a tough thing. First question that I'd ask them is, do you have a 401k available through your employer?
Mm-hmm.
If you have a 401k available from your employer, you definitely need to participate and take advantage of it. It's a lot of taxpayers and just people that don't take advantage of the things that are just available to them.
Right.
And they may have an employer that will match, that'll contribute, and they put 5% of their salary rate in the retirement account, the employer will match it, but they're not taking advantage of it.
Now, okay, now you're taking the same tack, I think, as Craig was, that, you know, step back a minute, let's take advantage of time. But often we don't have time. I mean, you know, maybe they're, you know, 2 years, 5 years away from retiring. So even if they do take advantage of their 401k, they only have 5 years of runway, you know?
Right.
So what would you say in that case?
It's a tough situation. Sometimes people are in the situation where they just don't have the cash available, and they either have to tighten their belts up,
right,
or reduce their cost of living,
or continue working.
Right.
You know, you're not going to be able to retire in 5 years. You need to work another 10 years so that
right.
you'll be in good shape when you do. Yeah, yeah.
They're one of the 1/5 who knows they're going to have to work and not retire, or they're one of the 3/5 who's in denial. Right.
Right. Well, I mean, the one thing right now, even the government's looking at it for Social Security, because Social Security payments are lasting long. People are living longer. The government's making more payments out of Social Security, so they're raising the age for being able to collect on Social Security now.
Or, you know, and I will get, I want to get your response, both of you, your response to this issue. Municipalities across the country are facing a looming disaster. And that disaster is that public unions have negotiated these contracts, fire, police, classified workers, they call them classified government workers, whereby some police, some fire organizations get, you know, 70-80% of their full, you know, paycheck in retirement, because firemen didn't live that long before. No one lived that long before, firemen and police. But now, when a fireman retires after 20, 25 years, getting 70% of their income, and they're only 40 years old, they're going to live for 40 years. And it's bankrupting the future prospects of many municipalities, these long-held municipal contracts with first responders, the people that we trust the most, the people that we wanted to take care of. Have any of you had experience with that? I'll throw this to you, Craig.
Well, one of the things that I actually is planned is I actually can put together what I call a private pension, your own retirement plan for each individual. And a private pension is really nothing more than you setting aside, just like if you worked at a corporation, how they should have set aside a retirement pension for you, but corporations are now placing more of that responsibility on the individuals. So we can build a private pension that actually can grow tax advantaged. It compounds. And I happen to be an advocate of what I call indexing. And so I work a lot with clients in what's called an index environment, where my plans go up with the growth of an S&P index, and on any downturns, they don't participate in any of the loss of a downturn. So that way I can protect their principal and then give them funding from a monthly point of view as a private pension. I mean, I think we need to be responsible and set up our own particular retirement plans and not depend upon Social Security.
Okay. And John, I just wanted to get your response to this issue.
Yeah, you know, it's really interesting here, saying, talking about just the municipal funding these days and talking about the municipals. It's a very big challenge for the state of California. The unions and the municipals are definitely going to have to go back and sharpen the pencils and tune up their calculators and see what they can come up with. But the real interesting, it's very interesting you bring that up. I've seen, as a CPA, some clients that have that are retired workers that either worked as teachers or worked for a municipality at one time, and they're actually making more money from the retirement than some current employed people that are working for the municipalities.
Mm-hmm.
The retirement plans didn't cap a lot of their salaries, meaning when there's been salary freezes mm-hmm. or they've taken a pay cut.
Mm-hmm.
The people in the retirement plans didn't take a pay cut, and they got a cost of living increase, so their payouts is continually risen with inflation, yet the people that are working, who are actually working, got like pay freezes, pay cuts. So it's been a big quite challenge for the municipalities. They're going to have to go update and change some of that.
We're going to take a station break in a minute, but I can't let this lie without ensuring that first responders, fire, police, and municipal workers, classified employees, know that we love you. We understand that you served us for many years, and that you deserve what your union negotiated. But we're just talking about literally the survival of our municipalities. They financially are being broken by many of these contracts, and we want to discuss the issue, but we don't want you to think we don't love you, because we do. You're listening to the South Bay Show. We're talking about financial and tax matters. In this case, we would love to have you call in. Please do call in. We'd love to have your comments or questions. Please give us a call at 714-242-5288. That's 714-242-5288. And Jackie, we'd like to thank a sponsor as well.
Yes, we would. It's never too early, and this is so appropriate. It's never too early to begin planning your financial future. When it comes to protecting your assets and hard-earned dollars, you'll want experienced professionals with a proven track record and flawless reputation on your team. Briganti, Cameron, Waters & Strong, certified public accountants and consultants, is the largest full-service accounting firm in the South Bay, and they are dedicated to providing professional services of the highest quality. The partners are South Bay residents deeply committed to serving the communities where they live, work, and play. They support a variety of local nonprofit organizations such as Skate Park PB, Palos Verdes Peninsula Land Conservancy, the Torrance South Bay YMCA, Rotary, and Pediatric Therapy Network, among others. BCWS prides itself on providing national accounting technical experience with the personal attention of a local company. This commitment to uphold high standards of excellence has proven key to their success and first-rate reputation. Their ultimate goal and reward is to see their clients achieve financial success as they define it, whether that means helping them to reduce their tax burden, assisting them with planning to ensure their financial security, succession planning, exit strategies, and wealth transfer. The partners and professionals of BCWS are committed to providing their clients with the expertise and guidance they need to reach their financial goals. For more information, visit the website at www.bcws.com or call 310-542-0011.
All right.
It's all about finances today.
It's all about finances
and,
today.
And you made that little statement so that just in case one night your house starts burning down, you want to come and put it out.
Yeah. Well, it is an issue that we are aware of, but we don't want, you know, fire and police to think that we don't love them. Of course we do.
Yeah,
And certainly if they're retired, they have a right to that monies that they were negotiated and that they've received. It's future contracts that need to be amended. Now, I'm not even a supporter of going back retroactively. That's a bad idea. I certainly think that's a bad idea. John, when you're thinking about the people that come in the door and the kinds of advice you're going to give them, what do you see today? What's the number one source of pain out there for someone that comes in and looks for advice or wants to do their taxes? And give us a couple of scenarios, different ones.
Oh, I guess probably the biggest pain, the number one pain that I think at least my clients are hitting is when they figure out their taxes and they have a pretty good estimate, and then all of a sudden we tell them they owe a whole lot more.
Mm-hmm.
And they go, I don't get it. Why would I owe a lot more? And then we tell them, well, you're subject to alternative minimum tax, AMT.
Mm.
And they're like, what? What's AMT? People tell me about it. I've heard about it. I don't get it. What is AMT? And then we have to go through and explain to them what is alternative minimum tax and why they're subject to it. And they just don't get it. It's a real challenge. And it really affects the more of the middle income, middle America.
Okay, explain it to me because I've never heard of this.
Yeah. Okay. Alternative minimum tax says, hey, the government says, calculate your tax return. Then we want you to recalculate your tax return, and we'd like you to add back those deductions you took for state income taxes and miscellaneous business expenses and unreimbursed business expenses, and add all those back, recompute your taxable income. If that's a lot higher using a flat rate, then you have to pay a minimum tax, and you don't get the benefit of state income tax, property taxes, and unreimbursed business expenses.
I don't understand. This sounds like I don't
that's
get this.
And that's why accounts are like.
It sounds like a shell game.
And so the government, and now here's the really super interesting thing is the AMT rate is like 28%.
Hmm.
Okay. So the super wealthy that are like, say, make a million, their tax rate is 39%. So they're not even going to be subject to the AMT. Now, you got a guy that's, say, making, let's say, $150,000 for
mm-hmm.
the household.
Mm-hmm.
But he's got a lot of mortgage interest. He paid a lot of state taxes. And he gets to deduct those state income taxes and mortgage interest. Property taxes and state taxes. You add those back, and then you multiply it by the 28%. That AMT tax
mm-hmm.
is higher than his regular tax that he would have had to pay. So they have the AMT is for the difference. Say, hey, you pay a minimum. We don't care what your deductions are. We want you to pay a minimum tax. We think you have too many write-offs.
Is this voluntary?
No, this is mandatory. This is the law. This is the tax law.
I never heard of this.
Yeah.
Okay. I have heard of it, but I thought it was to help you, not to hurt you.
No, what originally, I mean, the history of AMT is, I don't know exactly what year. Let's just go back almost 20 years. The government said, hey, we're going to try to limit those people that have a lot of write-offs on their individual tax return at a certain income level, we're going to limit the write-offs. And this is one way we can limit the write-offs that they can have. So they're not taking or trying to abuse the tax system.
Mm-hmm.
And they felt that somebody who made $200,000 was very wealthy and rich, and they shouldn't get the full benefit for all these write-offs.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now, as you know, if you're for a household and you're living in Southern California and you're making $100,000, $150,000 for the household, it's not a whole lot of money.
It's not a whole lot of money.
It's not.
And that's sad because
and,
I know.
And our state income tax has went up and up. So guess what's happened? More people are being subject to alternative minimum taxes because they're paying so much to the state for the state taxes.
Right.
Well, who made up these rules? How did this happen?
This is our federal government that made
well,
these tax laws.
How does this happen? Only 30% of people vote in national elections. That's
yeah,
how it happens.
That's how it happens. This
yeah.
is messed up. This
yeah.
is messed up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Craig, I wanna go back to you because you focus on planning, and you know what we're talking about in many cases are issues that well, if someone's in a situation that it's going to be difficult to extricate themselves from that situation quickly, and they may not have a time horizon. Do you have alternative sources of income? Do you counsel people to start businesses? You know, I often talk about the baby boomers. The first baby boomer, born in 1946, turned 65 in 2011, and this wave of people turned 65 will continue for the next 19 years. It's a huge age wave. About 10,000 Americans turn 65 every single for the next 19 years. What do you tell people that are approaching that magic number? What can they do to plan or start a business or whatever?
Well, okay. So the difficulty is that depending on which age bracket you are, if you're an older individual and you've done no planning and no savings, it's extremely difficult. And
that's
so
word,
that's
yes.
just, I mean, it really is. It really is. And it's sad, except that a lot of people have turned 65 or 70, and they then decide they need to plan for retirement, which is a really rough way to go. I mean, you know, if you haven't saved any money, you just haven't saved any money. I mean, I know John sees this when he does people's taxes. I mean, it's a situation. So one of the things I want to do is I want to be able to preserve the principle that they do have. And I would suggest for the older people, I actually work with a lot of annuities. I can give income streams for life off of an annuity. So that's a possibility. I have life insurance that is available that covers the face amount can be used for medical conditions. If somebody has a heart attack, stroke, cancer, you can actually use, it's not the cash value, it's the actual face amount while you're alive. And if you are still healthy enough to receive life insurance, that is actually an excellent way to protect your family from an economic tragedy of having some sort of medical illness. So, I mean, what we try to do is we try to look at each person and say, what can we put in place that will give you that safety net for your future?
Right.
If it is a little bit of a younger person, and I say younger meaning I could still start 50, 55, you know, that's the new young person, 50, 55, right? Is we can actually put a universal life policy, universal life is one of the few policies where you can overfund a life insurance policy, and then that policy can then fund them a tax-free retirement out of the fund of the policy. So go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sorry. You have a menu of options. I wondered if you would add in the menu like a Roth IRA, because Roth IRAs are taxed, pre-taxed before you put the money in. It's after-tax dollars that you put in. And then after that, any investments or if it's a self-directed IRA, you can even invest in real estate. Any investments that grow in that Roth IRA grow tax-free.
Yeah, I mean, now we're getting into John's realm here as far as taxes. But yes, I think Roth IRA is an excellent – I actually do set up Roth IRAs also. Not everybody qualifies for them. A lot of people here in the South Bay don't qualify for a Roth. So they are an excellent place to put money. But then again, I caution people, and I know John's on the same page with this, is when I ask people to bring in their statements and I ask, where is your money? And they say it's in the Roth. And I go, what is it? Where's your money? And they said, well, it's in the Roth. And I go, what is it invested in? And I would be amazed that probably 75% of the people that come to me don't open their statements or don't understand where their money actually is invested. They just believe when they reach retirement, they're going to open the statement up and they're going to go, they needed to manage that along the way.
Right. Is education a central part of your business, John? Or do you find that's a different kind of a business?
No, our practice is, it's to constantly educate our clients or get them informed of either tax law changes, tax planning, financial planning. And when it's not tax season, what we do is we really focus on estate management, managing people's overall estate, everything with working with their financial planners, to preserving their estate from estate taxes, to develop them a financial plan to basically say, can they maintain their lifestyle?
Right.
Most of our clients have a particular lifestyle and they would like to maintain it. Now, and there's some clients that we try to come, that do come to us, and they say, you know what, John, I make $40,000, $50,000 a year, and I really want to retire, and I want to live on the beach. and we have to give them a reality check. So, you know, it's just, you know, it's not going to be possible at your current income level. You just
right.
got to do something different.
John, they really can live on the beach. They just have to sleep in the sand.
Right.
Get the tent out. Yeah.
Now, John, I want to do this a little earlier. I want you to give us your contact information a little early because I want to get into some specific scenarios and make sure we get that all out of the way early. John, how do people get in touch with you and go over tax matters and other financial matters?
Sure. The best way to do is to call our office. Our office is located in Manhattan Beach on 2nd Street in Sepulveda in the Hill section. And they can call the office at 310-372-0672 and ask for a tax appointment and then come in and get their taxes done. If it's after tax season, call for do some financial planning after April 15th mm-hmm. for them. Or if they don't remember the number, they can remember our web address. It's really simple. It's www.manhattanbeachcpa.com.
Mm-hmm.
And then that'll bring us to the link for our website. Mm-hmm. Or they can just shoot us an email, find us on LinkedIn, find us on Facebook as well.
ManhattanBeachCPA.com. I like that. That's very good. That's very good. And Craig, I want to as well get your contact information for Five Rings Financial.
Okay. It's pretty easy to I'm actually Craig at FiveRingsFinancial@gmail.com. And then as far as the contact phone number, I'm at 310.
I'm sorry, Craig. Now, wait. Now, we had two at signs there, and I assume this is an email. Only one at sign. So can you give us that once again?
Yes, it's I'm sorry. I'm actually thinking of something here. Excuse me. So it's Craig@FiveRingsFinancial.com, and that's
okay.
Five spelled out FIVE, Five Rings
mm-hmm.
Financial.
Mm-hmm. And phone number or other contact information?
Is 310-292-1270, and I'm here in Torrance.
Okay. Now, what we talked about a little bit is scenarios for people who are older, who have homes, they actually own homes potentially, they have issues, whatever the issues are. But let's, for a moment, imagine the prototypical 35-year-old just got a really good job, they're starting their family, young children, just starting out, they have a long runway, 30 years. Of runway before they're even going to think about retiring. Oh, if I were young again. let's start with you, John. If someone like that walks in your door, they're making $100,000 a year and they got 30 years to retire. First of all, you think this is going to be fun, and then second of all, what do you say?
Oof. First thing we kind of say is, I hope you're saving money. Save.
Right.
And the saving part is first participate in the 401k. But here's the big challenge with somebody like that is I tell them maybe if they don't own a home or don't have a townhouse and they're trying to get that down payment, that's the tough thing. How do they get the down payment for the house? And they got to start saving. So maybe they don't stick the money into their retirement account
because
they need to have cash available for their down payment. Now, what's really interesting is people don't realize, let's say they've already been working. They've been working at the job for 5 years. And they start at 30 now, like maybe 34, 35, and they have a 401k available. Almost every 401k available allows them to borrow up to 50% of their retirement or a maximum of $50,000.
Right.
So if they needed to get some extra cash to do something, they could always borrow from their 401k, not pay any taxes, and then have some extra cash available. The worst thing they could do is take an early distribution from their retirement account to put a down payment on a house, because then all of a sudden they might be paying the penalty is not 10%, but 10% federal and then 3% states. You're paying 13% penalties plus their income tax rates, their federal and state income tax. So by the time they take any money from a retirement account early for down payment of the house, they take out a $50,000 for retirement, they only get $25,000 after taxes. Mm. Not very good planning.
Right.
No, that's not good at all.
No.
Yeah.
Now, Craig, you've got this wonderful situation. They walk in, 35 years old, good job, making $100,000 a year, 30-year runway before retirement. What do you say?
Well, you know what's interesting? There was an article that I pulled up earlier, and it said at age 30, if you want to retire at age 65 with $1 million, how much do you need to save per month, assuming a hypothetical 6% rate of return? And it turns out that at age 30, you have to save $700 a month until age 65 to save up $1 million at a 6% return. And so this is an article. I haven't verified this. But what's interesting is that most 30-year-olds, including myself when I was 30, probably are not saving $700 a month.
Correct.
So I think that the interesting thing, though, is that I am finding from my younger clientele that they did watch their parents' generation go through a couple different recessions, and they are saving money. I am really impressed with some of my younger clients. They are saving what they can, and I'm very impressed with that. Like John said, save. And the only thing I'd say on real estate is they may not be able to buy in Manhattan Beach, but it doesn't mean that they can't purchase someplace else. So I agree. Real estate is a fantastic option.
Okay, I want to know where you get that 6% return.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? I don't have a name on this article, unfortunately, but it said at age 20 you need $361 a month, and at age 30 it's $700 a month, and at 40 it's $1,436. So.
Yeah, nobody's putting away. I mean, you have to live. You have living expenses. You know, in your 20s, you know, you're not even thinking about the future. You know, most of us aren't. And then when you get into your 30s, as you said, if you get married, if you buy a house or rent, and you have kids, that money's flying out the window.
Hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. It is tough.
Yeah, it is tough.
You know, the biggest advice I give clients is when it comes to actual financial planning or looking at it, is when I tell them, hey, you got to save up 20, you know, let's say $12,000 a year, just putting it aside. And I go, oh, I don't have $12,000. I go, oh, okay. Well, I go, can you put in just save $1,000 a month? I go, oh, no, I can't save $1,000 a month. And I said, okay, how about this? How about you just, can you save $30 a day? I'm like, I might be able to save $30 a day.
That's $12,000 a year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I say, look, if you just put aside, you know, just $20-$30 a day, just put it aside. You know, people are amazed at the change drawer. You know, just your change.
Yeah.
Every day, if you just take all your change, you get it, you put it in the bottle, and you put it, and you cash in, and you don't spend it.
Yeah.
It grows. It's like, oh my God, it's amazing. I had one client said, yeah, all our change drawer, we collect it, we just put all our loose change, and then we push it, and then we just put it in the bank, we put it separately, we don't mingle it and just, you know, spend it on dinner or anything, we just try to save it. That's a couple $1,000 a year.
Now, we have a couple of minutes before the break, and I just want to cover a couple of issues. One is I've had a long history studying the long-term disability marketplace. And for people that don't know, basically you have, you know, insurance. Everyone thinks, yeah, life insurance is good. And life insurance actually is an excellent way of passing on wealth to the next generation. But life insurance is only really for when you die. You're much more likely to have a long-term chronic illness than you are to die. And long-term disability insurance is critical to protect the assets of a family. Please.
Interesting. Can I jump in and comment about this? I'm a big advocate of not a lot of life insurance. You should always be worth more alive than dead.
Yeah.
But it's imperative that everybody have some form of life insurance, either help their families, help them, Or the really interesting thing, with life insurance products today, they have riders that can have, if you become disabled, that you, at certain factors, can get paid out on that life insurance. So it can kind of fulfill the need for the disability insurance and life insurance in there. I think that's also another great way. Some people that have a really hard time savings, that the life insurance, it kind of forces them to save. They have it, it grows, and then it develops a cash surrender value, meaning if they decided to just cash out, they actually have some cash.
Well, that's the whole life policies that Craig was speaking of.
Right. And like I personally have a small one, I think, of $150,000 whole life. It's giving me 6%, guaranteed 6% interest.
There's your 6%, Jackie.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Can I mention something before we jump onto the break?
Sure.
On the policies. The new policies with the riders, you're right, John, the new policies with the riders that I'm writing, I can write anything from $100,000 minimum up to $2 million that has what's called living benefits. And the living benefit rider allows you to access possibly up to 90% of your face amount on certain medical conditions if they arise. So I can literally take somebody that didn't really save any money, and maybe they can buy. I can do this on term policies, whole life, or index universal life. All of them have living benefits now. And so you could take a small policy, even for somebody at $100,000, and if they have a medical condition and they need $50,000, I can use the face amount to help fund that condition. You do not have to just use life insurance as a wealth transfer device or something for your beneficiary. I think everybody should have this, absolutely, minimum.
Yeah.
John, we're going to take a break, and then we'll be right back and talk some more about financial and tax matters. You're listening to the South Bay Show. This is Manhattan Beach 360, sponsored by the Chamber of the Business Chamber of Manhattan Beach, the Manhattan Beach Chamber. And Jackie, what's going on this weekend?
The Manhattan Beach 360 events calendar is brought to you by The Strand House. The Strand House offers the quintessential beach dining experience where the incredible food is as spectacular as the view. The iconic location overlooking the Manhattan Beach Pier provides an exceptional setting for any occasion. Recently named one of Zagat's 30 Under 30, LA's hottest up-and-coming chefs, Chef Greg Hosinski crafts traditional dishes in new and exciting adaptations. The Strand House presents any number of ways to elevate your dining experience. You can savor a handcrafted cocktail at the upstairs bar, join friends around the fire pit and choose from over 40 wines by the glass. Reserve the wine cellar for an intimate gathering or important business dinner. Enjoy lunch, brunch, or dinner in the light-filled dining room. Dine al fresco on one of the patios or attend their unique culinary master series. And in keeping with a treasured beach city's tradition, the Strand House also offers dancing Thursday through Saturday nights and Sunday afternoons. That's right, Sundays at the beach are back. For additional information and to make reservations, call 310-545-7470 or visit the website at www.thestrandhousemb.com. The Strand House is located at 117 Manhattan Beach Boulevard in Manhattan Beach. Joe.
Is that the end?
That's the end.
Oh, my gosh. Good. All right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not a lot going on this weekend.
Well, no, that's the commercial for the weekend events, but somebody from the chamber generally calls them. I don't do the weekend events on Fridays. They do the events calendar, yeah.
I've got my days mixed up.
Yes.
Well, gentlemen, so now we have, another 10 minutes. We want to talk about the future. Everyone is looking at their finances today. It's tax season. If you haven't done your taxes, you should have an idea of what you're going to do. Nearly everyone has to do taxes. Let's start with you, John. You do a lot of taxes. What do you say? What's the best way of getting organized for tax season today?
Oh, the best thing to do is make sure that you go through before you meet with your tax guy or be with a professional or sit down and do, get all your paperwork together. Get your W-2s, get your 1099s. If you do have any sort of investments that are with a financial advisor or an investment account, get them from the institution that's handling your money before you sit down and do your taxes. Don't do your taxes and then go, oh, my God, I forgot that. There's so many, we deal with a lot of people, meaning where they did their own taxes and they came in and got this IRS letter and they don't know why. And then when we look at it, we go, you know what, do you have investments? And they're like, yeah. I'm like, did you get an investment statement? And they're like, well, I think I do. I'm like, did you include it in your TurboTax? And I go, no. I'm like, and they're kind of at a loss. They don't know what to do. They go, I don't know what to do with it. And I said, you should have really came with to see us last year, and you wouldn't have got this audit letter from the IRS.
The
right.
Dreaded audit letter.
Ugh. Right. That's a big one.
Well, I want to know, John, I want to know seriously, well, you're established, you have your clients, but do you still get people walking in with the shopping bag, you know, full of receipts and odds and ends? And
Can I, you guys, tell you a little story? I had a shopping bag, not a shoebox, you know, the old shoebox. I had somebody come in about 4 years ago with three shopping bags, and it was a referral. They dropped off literally three crash, like, you know, garbage pail bags, almost, like, kitchen size. So we took a half day, went through all the stuff, got it all together, turned out the client, we found the investment, the client was worth $15 million, husband had passed away, and she had just no clue of what was going on, and we got it all sorted out, and got her all taxes done, and we still have a few clients that we'll bring in. Now that those bags are down to a shoebox,
okay. You've got them trained a little.
But, you know, maybe some other account was, oh, I don't want to deal with that. Forget it. And so sometimes you dig in, you roll your sleeves up, you get it done, and you help people out, and they're really grateful.
Right. You specialize in financial education, Craig. What do you say to people at this point? They're looking at their tax seasons. You don't do taxes, but what do you give them as a platform to go forward? How do you get them organized to go forward?
Well, I think that one of the things I like to talk to everybody about is if we have time before retirement, then you need to have a plan before you get there. And I would like to hope that the plan includes some source of income that is going to support you in this retirement. It could be rental income, it could be dividend income, it could be a part-time job. But I'm also a strong advocate of supplying private pensions for people, and with my pensions, I can actually then fund out of the pension tax-free income for retirement. And the advantage of having tax-free income, there's, correct me if I'm wrong, John, but there's only three things that I know about that actually legally are tax-free, one being a reverse mortgage, the Roth IRA, and then I can convert that to an annuity tax stream, or a universal life cash value policy withdrawn is tax-free. Those are the three that I'm familiar with. And I just believe that taxes are going to go up. You know, this is the other thing. Part of the education process is asking people, what do you think the government's plan is to get rid of the debt in the future? And I would have to assume that the plan is that they're going to have to tax us.
It's like if all your problems... what did they say? If you have a hammer, all your problems look like nails. And if the government, you know, right?
Yeah,
so
some of things
are
scary
on
so many levels.
I do want to give a really good tip that's something I think is really beneficial for someone to know. We've talked a little about elderly and somebody that may have a lot of equity in their home, and they're what we call property rich, cash poor.
Yes,
I helped a few clients. It saved them $200,000 in taxes. Just a simple process. The client had a relative that was looking over an aunt that was ill. The aunt owned a home that had a lot of equity, bought the home 40 years ago for $20,000 and was now worth $800,000. And they were looking to sell the home to pay for some medical expenses. She just needed like $80,000.
Right.
And I said, don't do that. And they were like, why? I go, you're going to pay over $100,000 in taxes. And they're like, can't I just reinvest it or do something? I'm like, no. The aunt will only get a $250,000 exemption from the sale, and then everything over the $250,000 plus her original purchase price is all going to be taxed. And I worked out the taxes, and they go, well, isn't it capital gains tax is only 15%? And I go, no. It's 15% federal taxes plus your state taxes of another 10%, plus you're going to lose out on a lot of benefits. Social Security becomes taxable. And they go, whoa. And they go, John, what's our solution? I go, borrow the money somewhere else, find it, get a reverse mortgage, get a temporary loan, do something.
Right.
And I go, look, if you can just hold on to the property for, you know, her beneficiaries, and then what happened is the aunt did get sick, unfortunately, God bless, she lives in a different place now, she's in heaven, but they didn't have to pay any taxes. They held on to the property, she passed away, and then they sold it after she passed away, and then there was no taxes.
Right.
Because
right.
there was what they call a step up. When you sell a piece of property after somebody passes away and there's a death, then it's at fair market value
mm-hmm.
at the date of the death, and then there's no gain or loss on the sale of the property.
Really?
Yes.
Even if the property was purchased 20 years ago?
Yes.
No gain? Wow.
No. Well, no, yes, there's no gain. Yeah, you get a step up to all of a sudden now the value of the house for purposes of sale and cost basis is the value of the property at the date of death.
Right. Wow.
Whereas if she sold it just 2 days more, because I actually had clients on the flip side, somebody said, hey, John, can you help me do this person's tax return? They sold their house right before they passed away
right.
just to pay bills.
Right.
And then it just, the government got a huge chunk, almost $250,000.
Wow. That's crazy.
So that's where it really helps to have a professional kind of guiding and help before they make the big decisions on selling houses, moving, you know, what do they want to do? You know, should we cash in our rental property?
Yeah.
You know, sit down, talk to a professional before right. you make those big financial decisions.
And John, give that contact information again.
Sure. It's at www.manhattanbeachcpa.com, or you can call our office at 310-372-0672.
Okay. And Craig, would you do likewise, please?
Sure. It's Craig, C-R-A-I-G, at fiveringsfinancial.com, or phone number 310-292-1270.
Excellent. You're both great advocates for financial education. Craig and Five Rings Financial focuses on education, and John McClellan focuses on doing your taxes as a CPA. But you're great professionals here in the Manhattan Beach area, the South Bay, that can really help people. And we're thrilled to have you on. Thank you so much for joining us.
I learned so much today.
Really, it's about asking professionals, isn't it?
I learned about AMT.
Yeah.
I didn't know about this last thing that John was just telling us about selling the house after the death. I mean, gosh, I learned so much.
I think a lot of families are going through these issues, and if someone could pull one nugget out of this show, do not sell the home. Mom is ill. Dad is ill. You're thinking about selling the property to get the money to take care of mom and dad and all of that. Visit a tax and financial professional before you do that. Unfortunately, if you sell the home before mom or dad passes away, you could be looking at a huge tax burden, especially if they bought the house 20 years ago. Hmm. But if you wait and hang on to the home, mom and dad live a good life. When they're gone, and then you sell the home, you'll reap huge benefits by avoiding taxes. It's just insanely important.
Yes, it is.
Isn't that right, John?
That is absolutely right.
Well, I hope everyone gets that message, and thank you so much, gentlemen, for joining us today. It's been a great show. financial and tax matters. And we'll see you again on Tuesday for Disaster Preparation in America, and then we'll see you again next week. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jackie.
Always a pleasure, Joe.